Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's read verses 1 and 2. It says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort." At face value, physically speaking, this is what that's saying. It's talking about servants and masters, which today we call employees and employers. Be a hard worker. Be a good employee. No matter who your boss is. I know this is not the mindset of the world anymore. It used to be. It says exhort and teach these things, and men did, but it was kind of understood. There was a certain mindset toward honor no matter who your boss is, be a good employee. Especially if your boss is a believer. Be an employee that respects and reverences the authority that has been placed over you. No one wants authority over them anymore. People are done with authority. Don't be one who disrespects and badmouths and complains and talks back, which is so common with people today. I go into businesses and see employees, and I think, what a terrible... I tell my girls, don't you ever act like that if you work for somebody. Don't let that rub off on you, and don't do it and rub off on anybody else. If they've hired you for a job, then treat that job and treat your employer with the reverence and the respect that that job and he or she deserves. If you're going to do it right. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Don't be lazy. Don't be rebellious. Don't be careless about it. I just don't care. Do the job for your employer like you would do it for yourself. And he said, here's the reason why. The end of verse 1 says, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. God's people represent the person that they have been called to, Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, let me say that again. God's people represent the man that they have been called to. This is important for us to understand. I sincerely want this congregation to know this. Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ. And we are. We are ambassadors of His gospel as we live our life out here in this world. We are ambassadors for His gospel. We're ambassadors for His word. And how we carry ourselves and how we conduct ourselves, it is a reflection on the God that we serve. Turn with me to Ephesians 6. There are some scripture references right here that go with this. Let me read a few of them. Ephesians 6. Verse 5. Ephesians 6, verse 5. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. In single, with one motive and one desire and one purpose in whatever you're doing, as unto Christ. Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. That means working real hard while the boss is looking, and then as soon as he leaves, you know, go finding a spot to lay down. But as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. He said, you're doing this as unto Christ. You're doing this as unto the Lord. Turn over to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 22, it says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there's no respect of persons. He said, remember, you serve the Lord Christ. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. Titus 2, verse 9, it says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not gainsaying, talking back, not purloining or separating yourself from them, but showing all good fidelity, all good character in the faith that has been given to you, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. How we carry ourselves and how we conduct ourselves, that is a reflection on the God that we serve. If we go around in this world with a rebellious attitude toward authority, that is a reflection on the God that we serve. All authority has been placed over us by the God that we serve. If we go around in this world with a filthy, foul mouth, that's a reflection on the God that we serve. I don't understand why some believers think it's okay to just cuss like a sailor all the time. I don't understand that. Peter didn't think that. He was a cussing man. Peter was a cussing man. And Peter said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm a sinful man. That's what he said. If we carry ourselves in a vile way, if we're known for being rude and lewd and lazy and everything that this sinful flesh is so prone to, that is a reflection on the God that we serve. It's a reflection on His gospel. It's a reflection on this ministry that He's given to us. The end of verse 2 in our text says, teach God's people this. This is important. The name of our God and His doctrine is represented by us. And the last thing that a child of God wants to do is give anyone a reason to blaspheme His name or His doctrine. That's the last thing a child of God wants to do. This is a real warning for us, and it's because, very sadly, this is something that God's people are very capable of falling into. This conduct of blasphemy, that promotes blasphemy. It happens, and we need to be warned. We need to be watchful of it, because if we allow ourselves to just give in to it, it can bring some very devastating results. King David gave in to it, all the way to the point of committing adultery with Bathsheba and killing her husband Uriah. Is there mercy for a man who does something like that? Takes a married man's wife, commits adultery with her, and then kills him. Is there mercy for a man like that? Thank God there is. But when Nathan the prophet came to David and he said, "Thou art the man," this is what Nathan said. He said, "Because you have given the enemies of the Lord reason to blaspheme, that child is going to be taken from you." He said, there are consequences that must come because of your conduct. Earthly, physical consequences. We need to be aware of that. A man who murders somebody, is there mercy for a man who commits murder? Yes. But he's probably going to have to go to jail. There are earthly consequences that come for our actions. And I pray God will teach us this. I pray He'll help us to be examples in our conduct, physically speaking. Now, done. Thank God we have someone who represents us and represents our conduct, spiritually speaking. Thank God. Thank God. Go, if you haven't, go back to 1 Timothy 6. I read this and I think, thank God for Christ. Thank God for Christ. Look at verse 1. It says, "Let as many servants." In Isaiah 42, the Father said, "Behold my servant." Ephesians 1 says the Father was the first one to entrust the work of His servant, Jesus Christ. He was the first one to trust the work to Him, His servant. Verse 1 says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed." Are you reading between the lines on this? Let the one who is under the yoke, let the one who bears the yoke, the burden of the work, let him count his master, the one who laid the work on him, let him count him worthy of all honor, all glory, all praise. Turn with me to John 17. John 17. Verse 1, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Me." That means lay the work on Me, that I may glorify You in it. "As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." I love how Christ honored the Father. Christ honored the Father, honored the Father. And the Father honors the Son and honored the Son. They each give all honor to each other, all glory to each other. Verse 4, he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Christ said, Father, I have honored you in accomplishing the work that you sent me to do. I did it willingly. I did it cheerfully. I did it as unto you. I did it all as unto you. I delight to do thy will. Oh, how Christ, the servant, honored his Father in the yoke that was laid on him. The one who bore the yoke. There was no rebellion. There was no talk back. He said, not my will, Father, but thine be done. Whatever you'd have me to do. In him was no sin. Only honor and glory and praise to his Father. That's all that there was. Verse 6 right here, he said, I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they kept thy word. I've manifested your name to them. Look at verse 25. He said, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I've declared unto them thy name. I'm declaring thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That right there is God's servant, our representative. He did all of that for us. With a humble spirit, with a willing heart, he was the servant that did all of that for us. Go with me back to 1 Timothy 6. First Timothy 6, verse 1, it says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren. But rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. He said, if both parties are believers, give double honor. Your brethren, not just master and servant, but brethren. Now, in this spiritual side of things, let me show you a beautiful picture. If both of you are brethren, if you're partners in this partaking of the gospel. Let me show you this gorgeous picture here. Turn over about four pages to the book of Philemon. This is one of the most beautiful stories in all of the Word of God. One chapter, Philemon. In this story, a man named Onesimus, and this is a true story, a true account. A man named Onesimus, he was the servant of a man named Philemon. And he mistreated his master. Onesimus stole from him and ran away from him. And he was a wicked, rebellious servant. And he represents you and me. That's us. That's us before our God. All of God's people are unprofitable, wicked, rebellious servants by nature. And in this story, this is a picture of Christ making intercession to the Father for his unprofitable, wicked, rebellious, but chosen, redeemed, called, regenerated saints. This is a picture of Christ making intercession for the sin of his people. The Apostle Paul right here is interceding to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. Just listen to this, okay? Such a beautiful picture of salvation. Look at verse 10. Paul writing to Philemon said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, And as we read this, here Christ, Paul representing Christ, Onesimus is us, and he's speaking to the Father. I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. I begot him through my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. He was a sinner against thee. But I begot him again in my bonds. And he goes on to say, but now he's profitable to thee and to me. Before he was unprofitable. But now he's profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. I'm sending him back to you. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels. He said, receive him as though you are receiving me. He is one with me as my own bowels. Receive him as though you're receiving me. Verse 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing. I don't do anything that's in disagreement with your will, your pleasure. That thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. And that's what happened to us. We departed from our God for a season. But in what Christ did for us, he received us again forever. Verse 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother. Receive him as a brother, beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Now listen to verse 17. He said, if thou count me therefore a partner. Christ said, Father, if you count me to be an equal, if you count me to be a brother, if you count me to be worthy, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. You put it all on my account. Verse 19, he said, I've written it with my own hand. I will repay it. He said, if you count me to be a brother, receive him as a brother. Receive him as receiving me. That is just beautiful, isn't it? Go back to 1 Timothy 6. Verse 1 says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And I'll just tell you, that deserves a message all its own. The name of God and his doctrine. If I don't get to it, one of you men can do it. What is God's name? What is God's doctrine? Maybe next time. But he said, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. He said, the servant that's under the yoke, let him honor his master by doing him service, accomplishing his bidding as a faithful and beloved partaker of the benefit. And this is how Christ did that for his Father. Now, I was going to have you turn to John 6, but I'm just going to tell you, this is how he did that for his Father. Let me just quickly read it to you. John 6, this is what verses 38 to 40 say. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given to me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Father says to us, the Father is saying to his people in glory and rejoicing and rejoice, behold my servant. That's what he's saying. You behold my servant. That's what the Father says to us. And this is what Christ the servant says to us. The Father says, you behold my servant. And this is what Christ the servant says to us. I will have you turn with this and we'll close. Go with me to Matthew 11. We have to go here. Matthew 11. This is what Christ the servant has to say to his people. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden over all that sin you've committed, and I will give you rest. Now listen, he said, take my yoke. Let the servants that are under the yoke, take my yoke upon you. Take my work upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Christ, the servant of God who bore the yoke, he says to his people, you come yoke up with me. A yoke yokes two together. And he says, you come yoke up with me. I'll do all the work. You just rest. I've done all the work. You just rest. I've already honored the Father for you. You just rest. Just rest. You just rest. Thank God for Christ.